And Jesus looks at Peter and he says, "You are Simon, but from now on you shall be called Rock." Peter, that's what Peter means. "And upon this rock I will build my church." What's this in direct contrast to? The rock in Jerusalem, where false religion has built its church. And Peter says, on this rock, what rock? The rock that Peter has identified. Jesus calls Peter a rock because he says, listen, I'm identifying you with me. But it's not on Peter that the church is going to be built, which is the false interpretation of that the Roman Catholics loved and took and ran with. Jesus is saying, this revelation that I'm the foundation stone, that's the rock. I am the rock. And I'm going to build my church on this rock. And what is he going to say? And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I propose that our prayers for the peace of Jerusalem are misguided. How many of you have heard the statement, pray for the peace of Jerusalem? What does that mean? I want you to turn to Psalm 122. I'm preaching a little bit long because I know the people upstairs really want to have your kids for a little bit longer and they just wanted to finish up their program. It's true. You think I'm lying? Almost done. Are you guys still with me?
Yeah.
Are you ready for the kicker?
Yes.
Yeah. Psalm 122. "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go into the house of the Lord.' Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem." This is a psalm of David. "Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together, where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to the testimony of Israel." That's the Ark of the Covenant. "To give thanks to the name of the Lord, for thrones are set there for judgment, the thrones of the house of David." Where are they set? Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. "Peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, 'Peace be within you.' Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good." Why? Because of the house of the Lord our God. Why do we pray for the peace of Jerusalem? Because of the house of the Lord. I want you to know that the reason why we've prayed for the peace of Jerusalem and why it's become such an interesting part, such an integral part of our Christian psyche, is because we have had this long-standing belief that those who bless Israel will be blessed and those who curse Israel will be cursed. It's in the scripture. It's a Bible verse. It's in the Old Testament. We bless Israel, we get blessed. We curse Israel, we get cursed. And that's been a huge part of our American politics. And we conservative Christians, fight against anybody who would come and say, "Oh, no, we mustn't support Israel," all that kind of stuff. No. And we fight against that and say, "Oh, no, we'll be terribly, terribly punished as a nation if we do not preserve our relationship with Israel." Anybody? Yeah, that's what you've heard. In Matthew chapter 23 and verse 37, does Jesus pray for the peace of Jerusalem? What does Jesus say? He says, "Your house is left to you desolate." Why did we pray for the peace of Jerusalem in the first place? Why is it in the Old Testament? That's the only place it occurs, by the way, Psalm 122, an ascent of the hill of the Lord. Why is it there? Because of the house of the Lord, Beth El, the house of God. But Jesus says, "Your house." When he says "your house," he is removing the name of God from the Temple Mount. He is saying this is no longer God's house. May I tell you that the proper Christian doctrine is that the house of the Lord is no longer located in a geographical spot. The house of the Lord is now located in the heart of Christ. Christ is the foundation stone, and we who are built upon that foundation stone, we are living stones that make up the house of God. If we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, Jerusalem is no longer a city that we pray for. Jerusalem is the city of God, which Abraham searched for, whose foundations are laid by God, who is a city that will endure forever. That city is a people, not a place. When we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, we are praying for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, because Jerusalem is the place where the house of the Lord is. Does that make sense to you? We are not praying for a country. We are not praying for a citizenship. We are not praying for that place we call Israel. Now you say, well, come on, Eric. Now you're stepping across the line. Aren't we supposed to pray for our Jewish neighbors? Yes, you are. You certainly are. Because their eyes are blinded and they cannot see Messiah. And we are to pray that their eyes would be opened that they may see Messiah. But are we to take a stand to establish the nation of Israel around a stone on Mount Moriah, when Christ clearly said, not one stone shall be left upon another? Not one stone. What is he saying when he says not one stone? He is not just talking about the temple. He is talking about the concept of the foundation stone. He says not one stone will be left on this foundation, because this is not the foundation. The foundation is me. That's what he's saying. So my friends, I offer to you a political shift. I offer to you a political shift. I offer you that the house of God is no longer in Israel, that we are the Israel of God. Not America, which is replacement theology, and that's wrong. We, the church, are the Israel of God. We are the descendants of Abraham. We are the ones to whom the promise has been given. If you think I am wrong, then read the New Testament and discover what the other authors of the New Testament said, and discover what Jesus himself said. And this is the one that we follow. We follow him and we follow his word. We follow not these cleverly devised fables of men. We do not follow that cleverly devised fable about that being the foundation stone that God stood on, and that's why it must be protected because it's God's country and it's God's place. No, no. We stand on Christ and Christ alone. Amen. How much more innocent blood must be spilled over a rock? You say, but oh, surely we must preserve it because if we don't, then the prophecies won't be fulfilled. Oh, so you're responsible for fulfilling the prophecies. You say, but surely the promises of God stand forever. God said, I bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. Jesus became the curse for us. And he took every curse of God. Yes. Every single one. Surely Jesus then would be cursed by God because he cursed Israel. And he cursed Jerusalem, and he said, not one stone will be left upon another. He's cursing. Surely Jeremiah, who offers all those prophecies about Jerusalem being destroyed, would be cursing Israel, and therefore cursed of God. Which is why, by the way, they thought Jeremiah was cursed of God. And that's why they eventually, you know, they try to kill him. And maybe they did. I don't know. That's why Zechariah was killed. Zechariah was killed because he spoke about these things. God, can we not get it? We're so caught up in this world. We're so caught up in this temporary thing. We look to our politics. We look to because we are looking to find ourselves comfortable. We're looking to make ourselves at peace. We're looking to grow foundations here when God says clearly, we are sojourners in this land. We are pilgrims in this land. Do not set your affection on these things. An election is coming. Do not base your choice in the election on whether or not the candidate is willing to protect a rock. Base your choices on whether or not that candidate is willing to uphold the rock. Or at least to allow us to worship the rock of ages. And to establish our lives upon that rock. I don't care what their foreign policy is in regard to Israel. America is not blessed because of that. I'm not blessed because I do this. That is false religion, my friends. I am blessed because Christ died on a cross for me, and because Christ was raised for me. I am blessed because I've placed my faith in Him, and He is responsible for all my blessing. I have not earned it. I do not deserve it, but He has given it because He loves me. And that's why I trust Him. And that's what I can believe in. And if you're still holding to Malachi 3 verse 10 because you think that somehow in your paying of the tithe that God is now going to bless you, then you are nothing more than the Pharisees of the days of old. And you better make sure you give exactly what you think you need to give. And even then, when things don't go the way you expect them to, do not point your finger at God and blame God because you did all the righteous things and God somehow did something wrong. No, my friends, recognize that you are not blessed because you did the right thing. You are blessed because God wants to bless you. Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What does a poor man have that he has earned? Nothing. Blessed are those who recognize that they are poor because they cannot earn God's favor. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You say, Eric, surely Jesus will return and reveal Himself to the Jewish people. Is it not promised us that He will? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So I pray for my Jewish neighbors and friends and enemies. And there are some. I received an email from one of our pastor friends in Ashdod, in Israel, and the Orthodox Jews have stood against them. They've stood and gathered masses against them and outside of their church and rioted, thrown stones through their windows. Jewish enemies, enemies of the Christians, Orthodox Jews. I pray for them too. May the scales be removed from their eyes. And may they not place their trust and their faith on a rock that is found on Mount Moriah, where they think they can rebuild a temple one day, maybe. They can sacrifice the ashes of the red heifer and they can bring peace again. Jesus is like Melchizedek, the Prince of Peace, the King of Peace. He is the peace. He is more than a rock. He made the universe and holds it together. Colossians, Paul writes to the church and he says, let Christ have the preeminence in everything. Let Christ have the preeminence in everything. Let Christ have the preeminence in everything. So while you rant and rave about politics, and while you toss and turn about the events that will yet come, and while you worry and are anxious about your lot in life, remember this. Christ is the foundation and not you. Christ is the foundation and not America. Christ is the foundation and not Israel. Christ is the foundation. And we are the living stones. And remember this. In your desire to be wealthy and well fed, that Christ has not yet received His inheritance. And if He is to be preeminent in all things, then He must receive His inheritance first before you receive yours. Or else the order of things would be upset. So do not assume that God will give you great riches and wealth here on earth in some way as an your inheritance now. Christ must be first in all things. Let us see Him first receive His inheritance, and then we shall receive ours. So wrestle not with wealth and poverty. Wrestle rather that Christ may be first. Lord, I thank You for Your word. And I give You great glory for Your grace. Jesus, you who have fire in your eyes, creation at your fingertips, you have loved us with an everlasting love, and our hearts melt. We do not put our trust in the things of this world. Help us in our unbelief, O Lord. And may this become true. We trust only in you.